Hello and welcome to Beyond the Back Page on New FM with myself, Patrick Donoghue. On the show today, I'll be joined by Kieran McCarthy, author of a new book on the Skibbereen Rowing Club entitled Something in the Water, How the Skibbereen Rowing Club Conquered the World. And I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Kieran. Kieran, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me, Patrick. Appreciate it.
So, Kieran, first of all, can you tell us what motivated you to write this book?
I'm the sports editor of the Southern Star newspaper in West Cork as well. Our head office is in Skibbereen, so I'm right in the central of where this kind of story has been unfolding for the last 49 years, really. Mm. And the club was on the go since 1970, but it really shot the kind of national prominence back in 2016, when Gary and Paula Donovan won Ireland's first ever Olympic rowing medals and when they brought home silver from Rio. And that was really a moment, I think, that captured the heart and imagination of the whole country. I remember that Olympic final, it was on a Friday, and it's like the nation stopped still because Gary and Paul, between their talent and their personality, they just kind of, everyone was engrossed in these two kind of country boys from Skibbereen. And kind of after that, I was thinking, and it was in my head, I said, there's definitely a book in this club. And over the last couple of years, the world titles have kept coming. Five Skibbereen rowers have won world titles in the last 4 years. It's been an incredible rise. And there are so many brilliant characters involved in this club for so many years. And this club deserves to have their story told. And like I always say, I'm the lucky fellow who's been able to tell it for them.
Yeah, and I really think you do it justice. Can you take us back to the start? How did the Rowan Club get up and running back in the 1970s?
Well, it was three local men. You had Richard Hosford, Danny Murphy and Donny Fitzgerald. They're in their mid-20s to late-20s back then. It was just a summer's evening in Skibbereen in 1970, where the three of them came together and they were kind of plotting a bit of mischief. And next thing was Danny Murphy, who decided that Danny he's from Hare Island, which is a couple of miles outside Skibbereen, so he's an island man who's used to the water. And he kind of threw the suggestion out to the two lads, why don't we start the rowing club here in Skibbereen? And it actually spawned from that. But what's quite interesting is just before the three of them met that Sunday evening, Donny Fitzgerald was on his way into Skibbereen to look for a road bowl. And in West Cork and Cork, road bowling is a very, very big sport. It's big up the north as well. But when Donny was coming in to get that road bowl, the shop where he usually gets it from, it was closed. And if that shop's opened, he could have got that road bowl and he could have got home and he wouldn't have met the two lads after that. So it's just a bit of kind of a quirk of fate that shop was closed that day. And it just turns out then that shop was owned by a Christy O'Donovan, who is the grandfather of Mark O'Donovan, who won a world gold medal in 2017. So it shows how small the community is down here, but it could have turned out a lot different if Donny had bought his road bowl that Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, and the O'Donovans, of course, got all the credit and they put the focus on Skibbereen in 2016. But when you were writing the book, was it important for you, because there's a lot of details about the club prior to that great success. So was it something, kind of a conscious thing for you to kind of illustrate that this success didn't happen overnight? There was a lot of hard work and a lot of people that were put in a lot of groundwork for them to have that great success.
That's exactly it. Gary and Paul, they're two international sports stars at this stage. They're all over the world. But they're just two parts of a very, very big jigsaw in Skibbereen. They wouldn't achieve what they did in 2016 and the subsequent years if it wasn't for all the hard work that had gone in the 45 years beforehand. That goes back to the founding members who set up the club, and even going through the 1970s, the club's first oars person, the club's first international oars person, was a lady by the name of Nuala Lupton, who's now the club president, and she played a very, very important role in putting this club on the map. And after that, then we had Dominic Casey, the very famous Dominic Casey, who came on board in the late 70s and through the 80s as a rower himself, and he won 8 national titles. So there was a lot of very, very good rowers came before Gary and Paul. And even back to the noughties, Skibbereen had 3 Olympic rowers in that decade alone. There was another set of brothers. There was Eugene and Richard Coakley, and there was Timmy Harnady as well. So while a lot of the attention in recent times has been kind of focused on Gary and Paul, and with great reason too for what they've achieved, I think it's important to remember too that so many great Oars people went before them as well. And that's what I really enjoyed about this book, because you're telling their story, like, and their story hasn't been told before. So these rowers, there's Grainne and Ross O'Donovan, they're a brother and sister, and Grainne was a bit of a pocket rocket. She was clinging to her 5 foot one and three quarters in height, and she was an incredible rower back in the early to mid-90s, where she was one of the best that this country produced, but her size always came against her, but her mentality was exceptional. Like, and that mentality is, you can find it in every skipper and rower, because they really, really work hard for what they want. Because, like, Patrick, like, rowing, as we all know, like, it's one of the toughest sports in the world. Mm. Kind of, I suppose, what you need physically, you need to be so, so fit, so, so strong. And it's such a tough endurance sport. But then the mental strength is just as important, too. So rowing athletes are, well, I rate them at the very, very top. I think they're exceptional people to do what they do. So for me to be able to tell the stories of so many local Skibbereen athletes was a pleasure.
Yeah, and you mentioned how tough of a sport it is. And as well as that, I really enjoyed the passage in your book about Shane O'Driscoll and Mark O'Donovan and the sacrifices they had to make. You spoke that one race that they needed to get through it, or else they couldn't get funding. So it's not just the physical the physical demands on these rowers. There's an awful lot in terms of time, and the amount of effort they put in is really, really, really remarkable.
It is, because they could be training 13, 14 times a week easily. I remember a couple of mornings I call into the National Rowing Centre in Enniscarra to meet with the Skibbereen rowers, because you've so many of the Skibbereen rowers are on the kind of international setup, and I get up to Enniscarra maybe 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, and they're just coming off the water after their first spin, and they're taking a bit of a break when they're going to go back out again in a couple of hours later. So their dedication is second to none. And like you said there about Shane and Mark, that's going back to 2016, 2017, when they needed to kind of, they're in the boat called the lightweight pair, and they needed that to go well to get funding for the next year, because rowing is quite an expensive sport as well. When the athletes compete for Ireland, they have to pay levies, and the levies can be, and that's out of their own pocket too. Mm. So the levies can be quite big as well. So money is so important, just to keep them going, because like everyone else, they need to pay for rent, they need to pay for food, they need to put petrol in the car to get to and from training, and then on top of that, they have to pay for levies, and they have to give money towards training camps abroad. So it's a tough existence for rowers, and that's why I feel they're incredible sports people. Not everyone can do what a rower does, because they're so determined and they're so single-minded, but they have to be to achieve in the sport.
Mm. And you mentioned earlier Dominic Casey. He's a real character in the book. How big of an influence is he, and how important is he for the club?
It's hard to put into words just how important the character Dominic is. If you're talking to Dominic yourself, he plays down his role all the time. Like he said after the Gary and Paul won silver in Rio, he was their coach. He referred to himself as the kind of the water bottle holder. Mm. And if he really plays down his influence, but his fingerprints are all over this club. He's the mastermind behind it all. He's the glue that holds this club together. And like I said earlier, as a rower, he won 8 national titles and was one of the best in the country, one of the top single scholars. And then in the start of the 90s, when he started going into coaching, it's there he's come into his own. Like, it's no coincidence that Skibbereen is now officially the number one rowing club in the country. Mm. I think it's 181 national titles that it has won. And a lot of that can be kind of traced back to Dominic's coaching. And Neptune and Commercials were the top clubs for years and years, but Skibbereen have taken over now. With Skibbereen, I think it's 181 titles, and I think Neptune and Exeter are 153. And Dominic feels that Skibbereen could easily have had another 50, 60 titles in the last decade or so if they were able to race their international athletes at the Irish Rowing Championships. It just so happens at the moment, the likes of Gary and Paul and Denise Walsh and Shane O'Driscoll and Mark O'Donovan, when the Irish World Championships are on, it coincides with the international calendar, so they're off with Ireland, so they can't row with Skibbetts Rowan Championships. They still have the numbers that they have without their famous five or famous six is incredible going. But that's Dominic. Like, he, as a coach, I think people can learn so much off him, and I think that comes across in the book as well.
Yeah.
You don't, whether you're a BA coach or a basketball coach or a rugby coach or whatever sport you're interested in, I think you'll take something from the book in just how Dominic Casey works. He was the World Rowing Coach of the Year in 2018. Since he went in as Rowing Ireland lightweight coach in 2016, we've produced world champions year after year after year. It's been a golden era for Irish lightweight rowing. And like I said earlier, it's no coincidence that Dominic Casey is involved. And that's why I enjoy with the book, is sitting down with Dominic, and I suppose he was kind of letting us know his coaching methods and how he approaches athletes and how he deals with athletes and how he's changed over the years and how he puts his athletes first. And I think it's very interesting for anyone involved in sport just to see how this man operates, because I think you can learn a lot from him.
Yeah, and one detail to in the book that I think just illustrated the character he was, you were talking about after the great success in 2016 at the National Championships, and he sent an email to the competitors congratulating them on the success, but straight away he sent another email and he was looking forward to 2017 and setting the aims for 2017. That really, I suppose, we always hear about great sports people and sports managers, that little detail of not dwelling on their success, that's really, really shows how great of a coach he is.
That was an incredible detail with that, because at the time when Skibbereen, that was 2016, it was actually still before the Olympics, and Dominic was over in Banyoles in Spain with Gary and Paul, who were on a pre-Olympic training camp. So for the first time since 1980, Dominic missed the Irish Rowing Championships. And at those Rowing Championships, Skibbereen won 13 national titles and officially became the number one club in the country. So there was great celebrations in Skibbereen. They climbed to the top of the mountain. They were the number one club in the country. Yet Dominic, on that Monday morning, while the celebrations were still going on back in Skibbereen, sent that email looking towards 2017. He could see a gap in the calendar that allowed the Irish and Skibs Irish athletes to compete at the 2017 Rowing Championships. So it just shows you the mindset of the man, that it was before the Olympics. Skibbereen was just after winning 30 national titles, but he was already planning and plotting for 12 months down the line. It's incredible, I suppose, his incredible attention to detail. And I think, like I said earlier, coaches can learn so, so much from him, because he just sees himself as just a normal country, kind of Skibbereen, West Cork man. He's a man who grew up on the water. His father kind of owned a sand boat that used to kind of transfer sand and lime and cattle and gravel from the islands around Skibbereen onto the mainland, and it used to work hard. Like, that was backbreaking work. So Dominic has grown up with this mentality of kind of, if you work hard, you'll get the rewards. And he's kept that going. Like, he's been relentless since he first picked up an oar. Like, I think that's the difference between him, Patrick, and a lot of other people involved in sport. It's just the relentless consistency of Dominic Casey. The man never seems to tire. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He just goes day after day, year after year, and rowing has benefited so much from him.
And of course, the poster boys, Gary and Paul, we all saw them when they won them that Olympic medal, and they were joking and laughing, and we saw it very fun. But beyond that jokey, the picture you paint in the book is of a very serious competitors. You talk about them even not wanting to celebrate significant birthdays. So beyond that jokey image, there's a lot of steel there with them two guys.
Oh, they are, because like we were saying earlier, rowing is such a tough sport. Like, you have to dedicate your life to it, even though the lads don't see it like that, because they love rowing and they want to do what they do, but it's just such a demanding sport. And like you mentioned there, that goes back to their 18th birthdays and their 21st birthdays. They didn't want parties, you know, because they were training the next morning, or they were training that night. Like, they're two serious athletes. And if we take Paul O'Donovan for a second, like, he's won 4 world gold medals in the last 4 years. Mm. 2 times in the Irish lightweight double scull, and once was with Gary, and the second was with Fintan McCarthy earlier this year, and twice in a single scull on his own, he's won world gold. So he's already at 26 years of age. He's Ireland's best ever rower. He's Ireland's most successful ever rower. He's regarded as the best lightweight rower in the world. He's ranked inside the top 10 men's rowers, heavyweight and lightweight. This man is the best this country has ever produced. Mm. He's just an exceptional sportsman. And sometimes I feel like, maybe we'll get this wrong, I'm not too sure, that he doesn't get the credit that he deserves, because we're talking about Skibbereen and Ireland have produced one of the best rowers that we're ever likely to see. Mm. This man is just phenomenal. Like, he's a phenomenon. Very, very unique in terms of his physical power, his mentality. You can put him into any boat and you're going to guarantee success. As a quick example, he's a second year student now again in UCC studying medicine. So this year he was kind of he was juggling his time between studying college and rowing. So he missed the European Championships earlier in the year, and he was only at 2 international regattas this year. The second of those was at the World Championships in September that doubled up as an Olympic qualifier. He had a new partner in the boat, and Fintan McCarthy, another Skibbereen man, and Gary got injured earlier in the year, so he just didn't make it in the trials. Mm. So this new combination of Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarthy went off to the World Championships, and the boys blew everyone away. They won gold at the World Championships and qualified the Irish double for next year's Olympic Games in Tokyo. So that just shows you the calibre and class of Paul, that even though he hasn't had the competition this year, he was still able to get into the boat, obviously with a lot of training behind him, and blow the rest of the world away. So we're talking about a really unique talent that we have.
Mm. And before I let you go, Ciarán, looking ahead to the Olympics, the next year's Olympics, we know Skibbereen has punched above its weight in terms of competitors. How do you, I know it's probably not confirmed who's going to be qualified or whatever, but what are we looking at? How many Skibbereen rowers would you hope to be participating in that Olympics?
What we know for definite is that there's 4 Irish crews have qualified for the Olympics, and the Irish lightweight double is favoured for the gold medal, and that boat will have 2 Skibbereen men in it. At the moment, and just to show that there is something in the water in Skibbereen, you have 5 Skibbereen men are competing for the 2 seats in that boat.
Wow, yeah.
You have Gary and Paul O'Donovan, you have twins, Jake and Fintan McCarthy, and we have Shane O'Driscoll. Shane is kind of a wild card who's dropped back down from heavyweight.
Mm.
Shane's best friends are Gary and Paul. If you look out the kitchen window on Gary and Paul's house, you can see Shane's house just across the next field. The 3 lads went to school together. They rode the whole way up, and Shane went a different path to Gary and Paul. He went into the lightweight pair, which is a boat with 1 oar, and he became a world champion in 2017. And then he decided to go down the heavyweight route to see if he could get to the Olympics, but that didn't work out. So now he's dropped back down to lightweight. So we have 5 Skibbereen men competing for the 2 seats in that Irish double, and they're coached by a Skibbereen man in Dominic Casey. So there'll be Skibbereen will be represented at Tokyo next year. And there's still a chance. There's a couple of Skibbereen ladies, Denise Walsh and Emily Hegarty, are trying to get into the women's four that will hopefully qualify at next year's final Olympic regatta. So you could potentially have 3-4 Skibbereen athletes at next year's Olympics, along with Dominic Casey. So maybe the secret could be on the way yet. You never know.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, Ciarán, thanks so much for joining us this evening. The book Something in the Water is out now, available in all good bookshops, and comes highly recommended. I know it's coming up to the Christmas time, so for people that are looking for a good read over the Christmas period, I highly recommend it. So thanks again for joining us this evening.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's great. That was Ciarán McCarthy joining us to talk about his new book, Something in the Water, How Skibbereen Rowing Club Conquered the World. Really, really excellent book that comes highly recommended. I know it has been nominated in a lot of the categories, and a lot of the journalists have been talking the book up, and it was nominated in the On Post Sports Book of the Year, and a really, really interesting read for anyone. You don't really have to be an expert in rowing to appreciate the book. You can just, as Kieran said, anyone can just sit back and enjoy the stories about the club and admire the application and effort of the people in the club. And Kieran has done a great job in that book. That's pretty much it for this evening. I'd like to thank my guest this evening, Kieran McCarthy, for joining us to talk about his book, Something in the Water. For more sport on Neo FM, you can tune in on Saturday at 10:30 to Fergus Carroll, who'll have his usual Saturday sports show, and there'll be more sport on Sunday with Fergus at 8 p.m. with his results show. To listen back to any of our interviews, you can go on to Neo FM's page, search Beyond the Back page. We've had, it's hard to believe, this is our second last show of the year, but we've some really, really great interviews down throughout the year. So give it a look. We interviewed Mark Bright, former Crystal Palace player, soccer player, last week. So listen to back to any of the podcasts. And you, in our social media channels, we're on Twitter. It's Beyond the Back page. So give us a follow. And if you have any suggestions for future guests, please get in touch. So next week will be our last show of the year. We'll be taking a 2 weeks break just to enjoy the Christmas festivities, and but we'll be back fresh in January. But we've a great show lined up next week. So that's it for this week. Thanks for tuning in, and I will talk to you at the same time next week. Until then, enjoy your sporting week.